Dr. Kara, welcome on to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Big congratulations on the brand new opening of your actual practice.
Yep.
And this whole partnership with you and VROMP, I think this is going to be something that's really cool to kind of do. I look forward to really seeing more practices adopt this model. I think this is a really cool model. So before we dive into everything that you're doing over there, I want to kind of hear about a little bit about you, a little bit about your background story. Why did you choose to open up an actual rehab practice as opposed to a traditional medicine play?
So I grew up in Atlanta, and I wanted to be a horse vet.
Okay. Yep.
And went to vet school, went to Michigan State, go green. And then when I graduated, I did an equine internship. When I finished, it was 2011, and the horse industry was pretty much decimated from the recession, and I could not find a job.
Really?
At all. Huh. Yeah. And so I went into small animal medicine and moved back down here to Atlanta and was in general practice for a few years, but I missed the pain management kind of sports medicine-y part of equine that I had really loved. So I got acupuncture certified in 2015 and then rehab certified in 2018. Tried to integrate it into my general practice, but it was a big GP hybrid ER practice, and I was the only one doing acupuncture and rehab, so it just, I couldn't make it any bigger than myself.
Got
basically
it.
And so I started a basically side gig mobile house call practice doing acupuncture and rehab, and then got introduced to the founders of VROMP in 2021, and they were interested in partnering with me to build their first standalone practice. And so for the past year and a half, that's what we've been working on. We opened Resurgence Veterinary Mobility about 20 minutes from here in late December.
Man, that's awesome. That's awesome. And, you know, I think you brought up a point, something that I've been practicing for years, and sometimes they take me down dead-end paths, and other times I find really interesting opportunities with doing a side hustle, because you might see some gray space or some blue ocean opportunities and testing it. So could you talk about that just for a little bit, like kind of how that... Why you were at the GP and then you kind of branched off?
Yeah, I just was, I figured at that point I had the ability and the time to commit to it a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then COVID hit, which threw everything for a slight curveball in terms of going into people's houses, obviously.
Yeah.
But on the plus side, I had the freedom from my student loan payments to be able to do something a little bit more flexible financially. Uh-huh. And so it was actually a really good opportunity for me to explore that and figure out how I could see clients' pets in their homes without endangering anyone's health, as well as just build a business and a little bit of community kind of from scratch, like in my own backyard to some extent. So,
man, I think there's something beautiful about starting local and like winning your backyard when you're in business, like just going there, getting to know your people the most. And I think that what, at least a little bit I know about what VROMP has done is kind of they have that mentality, it seems like, where they cultivate what's happening around them first and then kind of grow outward.
Yes.
And I love that approach. So when we think about general practices versus what VROMP is doing and how that model is different, could you kind of elaborate kind of how those two?
Sure. So my vision in terms of how I wanted to build my practice was very much something that I kind of discussed with them from the get-go.
Yeah.
And they were fully supportive of that, which was amazing. And I feel like I did not have to compromise any of my values or what I wanted to create in terms of a culture and what I wanted my practice to be able to offer the general public. And so they really just allowed me to kind of create that vision from scratch and were super supportive of how I was able to do that. And I feel like, not to paint general practices or the large consolidators in a bad light, but I think because some of these practices are so big, they have to standardize things a lot more.
Yeah.
And when you're offering general practice services, I think you don't have as much opportunity to kind of break out of the mold a little bit and try new things, because the day-to-day is so unpredictable to some extent that you don't have that flexibility, basically.
Right.
And I really like just being able to try something and see if it works. And if it works, that's great. And if it doesn't, then we can change it and try something different. And that's kind of how we approach every day, whether it's like how we treat our patients or how we run the business.
No, you know, I think that this is it's a much needed time for this type of conversation and for these businesses to really evolve into, because you're bringing back the art to me of medicine, the art of caring for people, caring for pets, right? And I think that there's some great things that you get from scale and when you have these large partners, but it's like the art and science thing. You get heavy on the science piece of having a process in place, having the systems in place, but then the art kind of takes a back seat because you don't have the time to, you know?
Yep.
And I think that's what I'm hearing and seeing that maybe you guys are really pressing into.
Yeah, what we're trying to do is put the processes in place that will hopefully work now and then in the long term when we're maxed out at full capacity kind of thing, and make those plans to create efficiency and automate things where we can and all of that kind of stuff, so that when we do get really, really busy, we're not struggling, basically, and we're able to handle it without people getting burned out.
It makes a ton of sense to me. And all right, so because you mentioned it, and I've been obsessed with this conversation around burnout, especially in healthcare, right? Because our providers, leads to not the best care for animals or people that we care about, love, right? And the burnout conversation is big. And so tell me about your vision of how having a company culture might be able to impact that, or maybe be able to improve that.
So I have been burned out before.
Me too.
And me too. It was really hard. And I feel like it has taken a lot of time for me to get back to a place where I feel like I can invest in my patients without giving too much of myself. And without giving too much of my myself to the practice, as far as making sure that everything is running the way that I want it to run. And that's hard to kind of give up some of that control.
Yeah.
But I feel like at least at RVM, we have built a team where it is actually a team, and we have a team approach. I may be the managing veterinarian, but I do not make any decisions without consulting the rest of the team, and they feel like they have ownership and are responsible for everything that we do here. It also helps that we're only five people, and so everybody does a little bit of everything. Everybody answers the phones, everybody makes appointments, everybody can check everybody out. So everybody is a part of that because we're really small. But I think it allows us to continue to be flexible. And I also think that when we have that team approach with our patients, that the clients really feel that we're all invested in it. And no one therapist or doctor has ownership over a case. It is a huge collaborative thing, so that we can feel like we are getting as much brain power as possible when we are seeing these cases and able to kind of get the best outcomes as a result of that.
It's beautiful. I think that because I've worked for a couple different startups in the past, and the times that we've gotten too rigid has been the most stressful times, and in a startup, to me, at least anyway. But when we all take on the approach of, hey, I'll be the guy that will pick up the phone or take the extra trash out and also bounce the budget, right?
Yeah.
if needed, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's whenever it's most exciting to me to be in business. So I love that you guys are doing that.
Yeah.
Collaborative learning as well, it seems like. You guys are doing that like in real time. Yeah.
So we have People that come from a bunch of different backgrounds. You know, I had a little bit of background in rehab. My other associate doctor, she has been in general practice for a number of years, but is somewhat newer to rehab. We have a human occupational therapist as our main rehab therapist right now, and she so has that human side to it.
Yep.
And then our practice manager came from orthopedics and worked in Dr. Budsberg's gait lab for a number of years. And so she has the ortho experience. And so we all kind of come from various backgrounds, and we're trying to just see things from a different angle. And I think allowing everybody their input and their personal ownership over the cases and outcomes, but not complete ownership of it, allows them to feel like they're really invested, and makes it so that hopefully we're not losing people to med sales or higher paying jobs outside of rehab or veterinary medicine in general, because I think that's really what I think we're facing as an industry, is people leaving because they don't feel like there's a path forward for them. And that's really sad.
It is. I mean, you know, I think that's the conversation of our time, I feel like, right? Because it's like finding out how you can be content and purpose-filled work, meaningful work for you, but not like chasing what everybody else or seems like the next shiny object is. I have a horrible problem with that, chasing those shiny all over the place with it. But you know, there's chaos in that, and great, that's what you're looking for in life, but I think a lot of people are looking for not that.
Right.
They need to find out what's meaningful to them.
Yeah.
And being able to go to a place where you can explore that and experiment and try different things is, I think, crucial for the patient's outcome, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because you even mentioned it. You even said something cool where you were like, all right, the patients feel it. And I think that's something that I didn't really hear before a lot of times, but I know I do whenever I go into a place and I see somebody that's willing and working with me on a different level versus a person, hey, that's not my job scope anymore. You have to go up there and talk to the, you know?
Yeah.
I love that, yeah.
I think we are really just trying to keep, and I think what's really cool about rehab is that there's always new stuff coming.
Yeah.
And that's what I really like. Yeah. I am not necessarily like one of those people that will just like fly to the next shiny object, but if something new and cool comes out, I'm going to want to try it.
Yeah.
And if it works, great. If it doesn't, okay. We tried it and we know it doesn't work now. And so we actually just recently had all of our team's 90-day development plans because we've been open for 3 months.
Yeah.
And so it was really cool to talk with them and figure out, okay, well, what does the next year look like for you? And what does the next 2 to 3 years look like? And then what does the next 3 to 5 years look like?
That's awesome.
And being able to plan out, okay, well, you know, what CE is out there that you are interested in? What do you want to develop skills-wise? And what do you want to be, like, the team expert on?
Mm-hmm.
Because giving somebody that goal to shoot for, I think, is super important so that our team member that really wants to be great at prosthetics and orthotics can be the go-to team member for that when we have a case come in like that. And then they can really develop that skill set, and it gives them something that differentiates them not only within the clinic but within the industry.
And you know, you're 100% right, and the people that I feel like have done the best with our technology are the clinics that have found the person that raised their hand, says, hey, I want to be the shockwave expert, and they dive all in, and they like, they're asking about all the other devices on the market and learning about things overall industry, right, as a whole. And those clinics seem to be doing the best 12 months later, right? Because they had the person that kind of led the charge.
Yeah.
And really owned it. And so, you know, they kind of built their career around that for that time being, at least anyway.
What I'm sure you will hear from Cindy at some point about is that I was really adamant about bringing Shockwave in.
You were the person.
I was the person.
Yeah.
About bringing Shockwave in right when we opened the practice.
Okay.
Because I feel like so many times it becomes like the treatment of last resort kind of thing, where you know, we're going to try laser and we're going to try all this other stuff, and if that doesn't work, then we'll go to shockwave. Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to have better results if we think of it more as a first-line treatment as opposed to the last resort treatment, because you can do so much more with it when you haven't maxed everything else out, and you, I think, are coming into it with a mindset of, let's see what shockwave can do for this, as opposed to, okay, well, if it doesn't work, then we can't do anything at this point. And so we've been using it on cases where I think we have thought of it as, okay, well, let's do shockwave as our best option for treating this case, as opposed to our last option.
That's a flip. That's a flip. I gotta say, that's a flip on how a lot of people, practices that we work with, kind of approach it. They'll take the stance of, all right, you know what? Like you said, acupuncture, maybe some manual therapies, they'll go through the whole gamut, and then they'll roll us out the closet, like, all right, now we have this as our, as our, you know, heavy hitter. And so what kind of caused you to kind of make that transition from taking it from the back of the treatment plan to bring it to the forefront?
Well, I think just coming from using it the way that it's designed to be used.
Yeah.
And really just wanting to get the best option out there right away. I had a case last week that I, you know, it's a long-standing chronic arthritis. Mm-hmm. The knees are just in really bad shape, kind of crunchy sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And the dog's lame all the time. And the owner's tried all the stuff already. Not necessarily directly with me, but has already done all the things. And so, yeah, we lasered other parts of the body, and we're going to put the dog in the underwater treadmill and all that kind of stuff. But I was like, no, we're shockwaving this knee because, like, it's something that we haven't done before, and I don't think doing the same old is going to make your dog feel any better. So,
I love it. No, I love it because it's something, especially in talking to my human side of the people, right? Like, if someone's come out of pocket for cash, because I understand it, like, on the vet side of the business, everything's cash, from my understanding. So, but if they're coming to pay money for a service and being able to at least get the best option up front, mm-hmm. if it's not going to cause any harm or it's not any crazy downtime, if anything else, that would be impactful to the patient, I think that's a beautiful way to start.
Yeah.
It builds trust and everything else along with the,
Yeah, and I think, you know, if people are going to pay out of pocket for something, I want them to pay for the thing that's going to work.
Well said. I like it.
And honestly, that's kind of how we structured the whole clinic. We, I think, do things a little bit differently, which V-Romp was a little bit nervous about at first, but I think they have found that we can make it work, where we structure all of our treatments as time-based, as opposed to charging bimodality. And so we do charge separately for acupuncture and shockwave, but everything else falls under the umbrella of just rehab.
Yeah.
And so we'll have 30-minute, 45-minute, and hour-long sessions, and it gives the therapist a whole lot more freedom, which I know that they appreciate because they have ownership over that time.
Yep.
And they aren't dictated by how much it costs or what the owner perceives as valuable.
Yeah.
She's able to do what she knows is best for the patient, and I think that will help make her job more enjoyable too.
You know, it's so funny. So, man, we have this conversation all the time on the human side, which is, okay, do we go with the flat fee model and then have a couple upcharges, right? A couple, maybe one or two, like just like, mm-hmm. like how you said? Or is it the a la carte? And if I was to just get into my bean counter state and just Excel sheet, a la carte makes the most sense, right? Because then you have the menu board, it's like McDonald's, all right, number one plus that, right? Then you got to add all up, you'll probably make more per session. But from a enjoyment, from the patient's perspective,
and I think from a compliance standpoint too, like the clients know what to expect every time.
That's right. I mean, because I was about to say, like, as someone going in to pay, I love knowing, all right, 180.
Exactly.
Right. Am I doing a little something extra? All right, 2 and a quarter, whatever.
Right. But it's straightforward.
Straightforward. Yeah, and it's less kind of like, you know, get into whatever you want to mix together today type of atmosphere. So I personally love the flat fee model, personally. But I have a lot of clients that do both, right? Mm-hmm. I'll take either approach. And I think both of them work. It's just what makes sense for your practice. So, all right, as we look at your, you've been in business now 90 days, is that correct?
Yep, just about.
Almost 90 days. Moving forward the next year, 3 years, how do you see yourself impacting East Atlanta, like taking over Decatur and all that space? What do you want to see happen for the practice?
So right now we've just been doing core rehab. I am hoping to get joint injections, hopefully get some musculoskeletal ulcer sound stuff going on in there.
Thinking about a lot is going good.
PRP, that kind of thing. Yeah. That's my horsey sports medicine side coming back out.
Yeah.
And really expand into seeing more sports medicine cases. Okay. Right now our caseload is pretty heavily geriatrics, neurologic cases, post-ops, those kinds of things, which are great. I love them. They're super rewarding. But I think being able to get into a little bit more sporting dog medicine would be really fun. I recently tried out a dog sport for the first time.
Which one?
Canicross.
Okay, that's a new form of canicross.
So
right.
It's basically the dry land version of like ski joring. So ski joring is where the people are on cross-country skis and the dogs are pulling them.
Yep.
So canicross is running with your dog pulling.
Okay.
And so I did a race about a month ago.
This is you in, not like servicing that community, but this is you actually.
Me actually participating. But I'm hoping that it'll kind of help get me entry into some of those communities as well.
100%.
In terms of sporting dogs.
No, so if you're actually like eating it and living it, that's the best way to run.
So I have a puppy, so we're training. We're not like heavily competing or anything, but we tried it and it was so much fun.
Talk about this whole training process too, because this stuff I love talking about too as well. So, all right, you have a regimen that you're in place, like with you and your pup?
Not really.
Okay. All right, no, that's all good.
I am one of those people that if you give me a training schedule, I will stress out.
Okay.
About being able to stick to it.
Got
and
it.
Then once the schedule goes out the window, I give up kind of thing. So I have to kind of make my own schedule just because, as you probably imagine, with the business being the way that it is, like I can't like pick certain days and be like, all right, these are the days that I'm going to train. Mm-hmm. So my primary sport has actually been cycling.
All right, right on.
But I've been a runner off and on over the years.
Yep.
And when I got this dog, I was like, all right, I got to whip it. So he likes to run, obviously. And so I was this is the dog that I'm going to get back into running with.
Yeah.
So I took him on a few runs with me, having not run with him at all. And I was dying and he was not. And so I was like, all right, we don't really need to train you. It's more about training myself back into running shape.
Yeah.
We basically, it was just a 5K, but he loved it.
Yeah.
It was so fun. I'd like trail running is great too. And living in the city, it's hard to kind of get out to the trails sometimes too.
Yeah.
So I think it'll just be a good opportunity for us to kind of get out together and do something fun where, it's not really, precision-based, like agility or flyball or any of those other dog sports, and it's just like, we just get out and run.
Look, I'm a huge fan of all business owners finding a sport that they want to get into. It doesn't matter what your sport is. I think just having that ability just to have a, you know, break away from business, right? Just do something that's fun, light. I'm chuckling because when I tried to run with my dog, he spoke me. Like, I mean, like, you know what I mean? I'm literally like, you know, all right, this is good. 2.5 miles, I'm feeling great. We're going back inside. He's like, what were you talking about? We're just getting going.
I know. Like, I could do this all day.
Yeah, what are we doing here? So I love that a lot. All right. You're getting into that community. More sport, more biologics in the future.
Hopefully.
Okay. Coming soon, within 12 months or so. When we think about the actual community of overall vet rehab, if you had to kind of like talk to a room full of specialists right now, is any words you want to say about launching your own business and kind of getting into this space?
I think it is a really great time to be getting into it. I think that the rehab profile, just in terms of where it's standing in veterinary medicine, is really on the upswing. And there's more opportunities now than ever, I think, to kind of get into the space and see what excites you about it. And I think that's the cool thing about rehab, too, is that you can do just sporting dogs. You can do core rehab for geriatrics and post-ops. You can do biologics and all of that kind of stuff. And so there's a whole lot of different avenues that you can go down. And I think that the fact that the markets are only growing in terms of their need for rehab services, like, the surgeons are always going to be busy. Yeah. Like, you're never going to run out of cases. Dogs are living longer than they ever have before, which is fantastic. But it also means that you end up with a lot more of these just gradual wear and tear type things, too. And so I think there's always a desire for more people to be out there seeing these dogs and cats too. I love doing rehab on cats. Oh yeah.
Okay. You guys
and so I think it's just a matter of time before we start to really see it kind of blossom, hopefully all over the country.
Well, I'll tell you what, I definitely think that more humans are becoming aware that, you know what, before we just jump into surgery, or before we are even post-op, we need to have an actual program or an actual partner in place. So I'm really excited to kind of see what you guys do out there.
Yeah, and it's really great to be the person that the clients call when their dog has a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think so many times when that happens, they will call their regular vet, and their regular vets are already, they're slammed. Overloaded, they're slammed. Right. They don't have the bandwidth to be able to deal with that kind of stuff. And to be able to say, okay, well, you know, we can give you some options. We can get you in for therapy tomorrow. We can do this stuff kind of on short notice.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that may not necessarily always be the case with my practice, but right now we're able to really accommodate clients in that way. And I think it's really appreciated and helps build that community too, so that we can really move into improving quality of life for all these dogs all over the city, kind of thing.
Well, I'm looking forward to really seeing how you guys take over this whole city. It needs it. I think more vet rehab clinics need to be open.
Yes.
And I think that people are looking for it, just don't know how to go about asking for it.
I know.
It, right?
It's so hard to find. Yeah. I think the whole, like, Google SEO optimization thing is such, like, a weird rabbit hole to have to go down.
Don't take me down this whole ChatGPT lane.
I mean, oh, gosh.
I'm trying to avoid it, but you're right, though. People aren't really sure what questions to ask.
Yeah.
So they can find you, right?
Yes.
So tell them how to find you then.
We are Resurgence Veterinary Mobility. Our website is rvmga.com. We also have a pretty fun Instagram feed, rvm.ga. So
I like it. I'll look it up.
Yeah.
Dr. Kara, this is great having you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.